Hello, welcome to an edition of Gareth Jones and Speed that was recorded in Milan in Italy. Back in November, I went to EICMA, or E-I-C-M-A, the world's largest bike show. As you've already heard in previous episodes, I was there for the launch of a new range of Norton motorbikes. But while I was there, I decided to explore the other bike brands on display too. As you'll hear, I've owned and ridden many bikes over the years, but not for a long time. Like you, my interest and knowledge is chiefly in cars, so I thought it was a good opportunity to get a bit of a catch-up, to go on a journey and take you with me to see what's going on in the bike world, and to tell you a little bit about the bikes I used to own. There were lots of new and emerging brands at the show, and plenty of familiar names too. I'm standing on the Harley-Davidson stand at the moment, and I don't know the full range. The only Harley, the only three Harleys I know was the, is it called the Sportster, the Electra Glide, and what's the other one? The Softail, of course. They've got a list of Harley bikes here, the Nightster, the Nightster Special, the Sportster S, the Softail, the Street Bob, the Sport Glide, the Fat Bob, of course, the Lowrider ST, another Fat Boy, the Heritage Classic, the Breakout, which looks like a lightweight thing compared to a lot of Harleys, and the Hydra Glide, the Road King Special, the Road Glide, the Street Glide. They're going to run out of names, aren't they? The Ultra Limited, the Street Glide Ultra, the CVO Road Glide. Hey, God, dozens and dozens of bikes who all immediately look like Harley Davidson's. And it does help that of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 bikes I can see in front of me, 1, 2, 3, 4 of them are blue. They don't do an Electra Glide anymore, but if they did, it would have to be blue, wouldn't it? Electra Glide in blue. Wasn't that a movie? Zogadno. I'm standing on the Insta360 stand now. Insta360, of course, if you've got a motorbike, you might want to shoot yourself on that bike. The Insta360 allows that. They've got what look like fishing rod mounts, which can go on the rear of the frame, which can shoot you. You've got handlebar mounts, you can shoot your face. You've got camera mounts that point forward so you can see where you're going. You can, yeah, that's the de facto bike camera at the moment, maybe even more so than a GoPro. Something else I've noticed, I don't know if it's because we're in Italy, or I don't know if it's because it's motorbikes, but there's something at this exhibition you just don't see at car shows so much these days, and that is glamorous, scantily dressed women draped over the bikes having their pictures taken. That's interesting, you know. Emotion and attraction, that's one of the things about riding a motorbike, isn't it? It offers freedom and liberty. And if you're young, you might think, yeah, if I had a bike, somebody might fancy me. I don't know. When you sell a motorbike, you sell an idea, don't you? You don't just sell a piece of technology. You're selling a kind of an idea of freedom and liberty. And I can vouch for that, because living in North Wales when I first started riding bikes, that was the only way I could visit my girlfriend, who lived some 23 miles away from where I did. Either I'd have to ride on my push bike or get a horrible old bus, but immediately I got a motorbike, I became independent and had a proper relationship, right? Motorbikes do that. But who buys bikes these days? Everybody, I suppose, from people who are just starting work, who need to be able to get to work, to people who've got a family car but need a bike or a scooter to get them to work because the family car's now moving the family around. Older people, rich urban bikers, rubbers, RUBs, like me, although I'm not really urban anymore. You know, you buy yourself the bike you've always fancied. And bikes, significantly cheaper than cars, right? So you can really afford to indulge yourself when you're buying a motorbike. So many manufacturers I've never heard of. Victoria Motorrad. That's again a very handsome bike. Norton are up against some very stiff competition, aren't they? There are lots of bike manufacturers all vying for the market. I've just seen a quad bike with a snowplow front on it. That was not something I was expecting. That's interesting. Andy, if you live here. Oh, when we flew in yesterday, we came over mountain range in northern Italy, covered with snow, and then in the valleys, completely clear of snow and warm and verdant and sunny. Italy's beautiful. What a great place to ride a motorbike. Don't think I've ever ridden a motorbike in Italy. Ridden bikes in the UK, Europe, America. Never ridden... Have I ridden a bike in France? Yeah, I've ridden motorbikes in the Philippines. Ridden motorbikes in... where was that? Boracay. No, not Boracay. That was the Philippines. Ridden motorbikes in... hang on, it'll come to me. It'll come to me. Malaysia. That's where we were. Malaysia. In absolutely violent, violent thunderstorms. And a little Honda that I rented for the period I was there. Right, I think it's probably time I made my way over to the Norton stand and the TVS stand next door. Let's go and have a look at the TVS's, right? I'm going to go over there. Oh, hang on, I just see... I will go over there. I've got probably got 10 minutes before I need to be there. But just looking at the Indian stand. Indian have got all their bikes covered up in India's... maroon, is that what you call it? Their signature colour, maroon. They're hiding their bikes, obviously about to do a big press launch. And again, ladies in short skirts, straddling motorbikes. How 1970s is that? But I don't think bikes are locked in the past. They certainly nod to the past. Look at these Indians. Well, I'm looking at these Indians, and again, they're big bruisers that suit large American freeways. How good are they in traffic here? If you're going to do a big European cruise, yeah, there are big Indian tourers that you could just move into. They're as big as a house. Hey, while we're on the subject of Indian, I'm going to go over to the TVS stand and see some old friends. Well, new old friends. There's a bit of a buzz here at the TVS stand. Just looking at what they have on display. Let's take a walk through. They've got lots of bikes that have already been revealed. But there are 8 or 9 bikes under silk wrap, which will be revealed in a moment. And there's a huge queue of press hovering around. Okay, what have we got here? We've got the TVS N-Torque 125 race, which is a urban scooter. And a far more domestic looking TVS iCube. No. I was just wondering if this is electric. I think it is. Okay. An electric scooter. No information about it. We've also got electric assisted bikes at TVS seem to build. Oh, on TVS, how do you recognise a TVS bike? Well, if it doesn't say TVS on it, it will have the picture or an icon of a stallion. A black, but sometimes red, stallion with a mane. Which is, you know, a good thing. You know, there are plenty of car manufacturers who use horses as their logo. The TVS Jupiter 125, another... Ooh, a scooter in a white pearlescent finish. My Sora was pearlescent, but nowhere near as sparkly as this. I mean, the finish on Indian bikes is as good as any. Raider. This looks like a little 125. Let me see. Raider. TVS Raider. Yeah, a 125. Commuter bike, I suppose. Commuter bike. And down the side is a row of some of TVS's more competitive machines, you might say. The bike, the Sherco, that they ran at the Dakar last year, stars at the end, alongside my favourite, the TVS Apache 310 RR, which is also a BMW. This is the racing version here with the proper racing motor, and then the road going version of the RR 310, which I rode, yeah, successfully, I think, around the circuit in Bengaluru. And it's nice to see them here. They look the business, they really do. And we know how well engineered. There's a Ronin, there it is. I'll always be very fond of the Ronin now, because that was the first bike I rode after 25 years. And it was very, very easy to ride. What was it, a 410 cc, four-stroke, single-cylinder. Oh, this Rodan is only a 250, this one. Cheeky. Seriously, if you're looking at buying bikes in Britain, and TVS do come to Britain, have a serious think about some of their bikes. I know I'm here as a guest of TVS / Norton, but serious, these are proper nice bikes. Looking at some of the TVS-branded racing gear as well. Oh, there's a race suit, TVS racing race suit, exactly like the one I wore in Bengaluru. I feel part of the family now. I'm at a stand for a two-wheel manufacturer. I'm not going to say motorbike, I'm going to say two-wheel manufacturer called One Plus, who, of course, I've not heard of before. And I say two wheels, not motorbike, because what they've got on display here is a scooter, I suppose, a sort of a paddock bike kind of scooter. You know, the kind of stand-up moped that we used to have as kids, scooters, that occasionally would have a seat. It's like one of those, but it's all rounded and it has got the fattest tyres I have ever seen on any scooter. They must be 6 inches across, like fat little round things, almost spheres. Perforated discs, front and rear. They're electrically powered, and the battery pack appears to be beautifully hidden in the semi-circular sculpted body, I suppose it is, frame, chassis of the thing. And it's really got my attention. They are beautifully minimalist. They really, really, really are. Okay, here's some of the spec. GPS, precise geo-locking. So you could buy a fleet of these and keep them within a predetermined area. For instance, if you were, I don't know, a golf course or something like that, you could have a fleet of these and stop people from riding off on them by geo-locking them. It's connected via 4G, it's got remote fleet management, controlled access, it's keyless and has a swappable battery and a detachable golf bag. Now that's the golf edition of the OnePlus. There's like a tool carrier version as well. They seem to have a huge capacity to carry things out the back. And then the more sort of personal, leisure oriented one person. Astrea, I think the company, Astrea One Plus. Fascinating. Seriously, have a look at the pictures of them, because they are remarkable looking things. Quite disarming, quite friendly, and utterly, utterly modern. Electric bikes feature heavily at EICMA. I'm on the Silence stand. Yes, another manufacturer I've never heard of. And they have swappable batteries for their range of bikes, all scooters as far as I can tell. And they have a very visible swappable battery pack with a kind of a handle on the side of it. And they've got a display here where they've got a range of batteries all charging. And when they come out of the charging point, two little wheels fold out, which allow you to move it around. It's about the size of, the size of two footballs, but it's cubic, right? It's not spherical, it's cubic. And it just rolls on those wheels and slides, pops into the side of their scooter. Acciona battery station. And all the bikes here from Silence and one of their little, quadricycle, that's the word I'm looking for. They all rely on the same battery pack. Apart from one bike, which is, or one scooter, which is a lot larger than the others. I'm trying to find its name, hold on, here it is. It's the Silence GT, of course. And it has two battery packs, one behind the other. So that's clearly got double the range or double the power of all the other bikes. On the next stand, Can-Am. Yes, another manufacturer I've never heard of. They've got electric bikes and internal combustion engine bikes on display. Are they internal combustion? Yes, they are. And they've got Rotax e-power drive. Fascinating. So Rotax, who are well known for producing internal combustion engines, also producing e-bikes now as well. No sign of an electric Norton at the moment, but that's not what Norton are about at the moment. Who is this? Akrapovic. Okay, they don't make bikes, that's why I haven't heard of them. They are an exhaust and silencer manufacturer. They've got a range of bikes here, Ducatis, Suzukis, Yamahas, is that a BMW? Yep, all wearing Akrapovic silencers. Very tiny they are as well. Interesting, what technology they're using to allow their silencers to be so little and yet meet noise regulations, right? And now on the Infinite Machine stand. I've not heard of Infinite Machine before. They're a New York company who are experts in personal electric mobility. And the design of their bikes is extraordinary. Have you seen the movie Interstellar? There's a robot in that film who is chrome and completely cubic. It looks like a kind of Minecraft-shaped robot. Well, these scooters remind me of that robot. They look like they've been drawn by a 10-year-old. If you asked a 10-year-old to draw a scooter with only straight lines, this is what they'd probably come up with. And it's very bluff-fronted, very modern, very minimalist, very sharp-angled. And again, a new version of personal mobility, thanks to the invention of the electric bike and scooter.
You're a judge of speed!
Okay, I've done a fair bit so far on bike manufacturers you've never heard of before, but now it's time to do the people that you've heard of. I'm on the Kawasaki stand. Now, full disclosure, I have been a Kawasaki rider more than any other bike. As you know, I've mentioned on the program, I've owned a bunch of Kawasakis in the past, and I just thought I'd come and see what Kawasaki are doing these days. And right at the front of their stand is the Z900 RS. Oh my gosh, in full retro colours. I had a mate in college in Wrexham a very long time ago who had a Z900. I thought his was a triple, maybe I was wrong. But one of the most terrifying experiences of my life was riding Pillion with him around Wrexham in 1980. And it's nice to see that Kawasaki haven't forgotten that bike and they're honouring it here. Ooh, the Eliminator, all in black, completely matte black. Gosh, that looks like, yeah, a stealth bike. Brutal. I mean, yeah, you can't not see it. It's not that stealthy, it's quite the opposite, just very black. And there's a new KLE, a KLE 500 SE. Now, I'm interested in this because I used to own a Tengai, which was a 650 single, and the KLE 500 Twin looks good, looks like a lot of bike. Again, my sort of bike, that adventure bike term, which I'm going to use, and then a plethora of all the Ninjas, the ZX6R, the ZX10, the ZX4, FRR. Yeah, I rode a ZX10. I made a video for Kawasaki a very long time ago called How to Pass the Motorcycle Test, which is why I ended up riding so many Kawasakis and owning several. And the ZX10 at the time was the most powerful bike I'd ever ridden. It felt like getting on a TGV. Yeah, big, long, super fast, super powerful. And it's nice to see that Kawasaki are here. You know, I feel a kinship. Here we are, this is the Versys. Now, I like this. The Versys is not quite as enduro a bike as the KLE. More of a road bike, a grand tourer, this version, with side panniers and a top box at the back, or a gas top box, as I used to call it. And yeah, that's the sort of thing that you'd want to cross Europe on, isn't it? Or go to Scotland from Southport or Southend, or yeah, Southend, I meant, the other end of the country. Yeah, nice to see Kawasaki here. And of course, all their sports bikes are in Kawasaki Racing green, of course. How do you know it's Kawasaki? It's green. And would you believe it, right next to the Kawasaki stand is the Bimota stand. The best way to describe Bimota in the past were Ducatis in drag. They were like custom Ducatis. I don't know if that is still the case, whether Bimota still use Ducati engines or they're under new management and have gone their own way. There were a bunch of bikes, the Tesi H2 Terra. I like the look of that. The reason I'm interested in Bimota was I was assigned a Bimota mantra a long time ago. I was on a program called Ridge Riders, which combined motorcycling with archaeology and history. I kid you not. And I asked if I could have a Quasar, an interesting bike from the 1970s, sort of a fully enclosed bike with a roof. And they couldn't find me one of those, but they did find me a Bimota mantra. And if you don't know the Bimota mantra, have a look at it. This is a bike from the 90s that looked like a wasp. It helped that it was yellow and black, but it was a very, very modern looking machine. This Tesi H2 Terra that they've got here has got hub steering. Never ridden a bike with hub steering. I'm not sure of the advantages. I don't know. What are the advantages of hub steering? But nice looking, very fidgety, lots of pipes and stuff on display. Very different to the Norton. The Norton's a very minimalist. Nothing on display. It's all bodywork and straight edges. These Bimotas, you know, they look like, they look like a chemical works. All the pipes and cables and bits jutting out. Now, it's right next to the Kawasaki stand, which makes me wonder if Kawasaki have acquired Bimota. They seem to be sharing the same platform here. I'm going to look into this. I mean, I honestly don't know about the motor industry in terms of two wheels in the way that I know about the car industry, but I would imagine that it mimics what goes on in the car industry. You know, who would imagine that Citroën and Fiat and Jeep would all be under the same umbrella? And so, yeah, things change. You know, Bimota. Who are Bimota these days? I've wandered back onto the Kawasaki stand again just to look at the Z650S. again, lots of bits visible. A naked bike, this one. Do like a black bike. I have to admit, I am drawn towards a black bike. Don't know, maybe it's the ex-roadie in me. But I used to know the PR people at Kawasaki a long time ago, but it was such a long time ago. They've all retired now. But I'm still working. It would be very rude to come to Italy to a motorcycle or two-wheeler show and not mention Lambretta. I remember when I was probably 6 or 7 years old, my brother had a proper Lambretta. Was it called an SX160? I don't know if I've remembered that correctly. But he used to run me to school, primary school, on the back of his Lambretta. And I wouldn't wear a helmet. I would wear one of those little sort of flying helmets, leather things with ear covers. And it's nice to see that Lambretta are still going, because so many brands from that age have come and gone, right? But Lambretta still producing scooters that look identifiably Lambretta, not just that famous logo, that famous font and typeface that they use, but also they allude to their scooters of the past with colour schemes here. One I'm looking at now, which is a J200, you know, red panels on the rear under the seat on a white bike. It just looks like a Lambretta. And if you were Italian and you enjoyed being Italian, as I'm certain most Italians do, you'd want a Lambretta. They do electric scooters now as well, the Elettra S. Again, retro-futurist. I guess the reason why so many bikes look retro is that if you strip a bike back to its naked chassis, frame, engine, seat wheels, brakes and handlebars, then they're all going to look the same, aren't they? They're all going to have those elements. And so how do you work at making your bike stand out? How do you do that? It's a good question. Norton have done it with minimalism. They've pared everything back in mind. It's not over technical, it's technique, but not super technical. You know what I mean by that? It's straight edges, everything hidden. Minimalist. I do like a bit of minimalism. I do. VMC, special parts. Oh, little bikes. Oh, these are little mopeds for kids to ride. Cute. Cute. Oh, Hero. Okay, right. I bet you've never heard of Hero. I've mentioned them in the programme in the last couple of episodes, but if TVS are the fourth biggest bike manufacturer in the world, probably the third biggest in India, then Hero, I think, are number two behind Honda, an Indian company who have come to Europe with a range of bikes, 125s, 225, so they got a 400, and they look the business. I like the look of the Hunk 440. I believe that's come to Europe. Don't know if it's available in Britain, but again, very like the Rodin, very like TVS's Rodin, that is. And handsome bike. Hero. Right, do you know what we've got to do? We've got to do Yamaha, Aprilia, Honda, Suzuki, all the big names. This could take a while, by the way, because this exhibition is over a huge area, multiple halls. It's like going to the NEC and then attaching it to the SEC, the Scottish Exhibition Centre. And the distance between the halls is about analogous to the distance from Birmingham to Glasgow. It's a big place. I don't know how many steps I've managed today, but I'm not done yet. Come on, let's go and find Honda.
Gareth Jones on speed on two wheels.
I found Honda. It wasn't difficult. They've got a massive stand here at EICMA. And the star of the show, now forgive me if I've got the name wrong, but is this a Honda V3R900, is that how you say it? V-I-I-I-R or V/R? I don't know, forgive me. But it's the one on the highest pedestal and it's getting a lot of attention. It's a V-twin 900, triple exhaust, and a paint scheme. You know, I was talking about how to get your bike noticed. Well, this is a good way of getting it noticed. It's almost like a camo paint scheme. You know, when they put out F1 cars in camo or even concept cars, it's like a jigsaw pattern of grey, black and red, which makes the bike look very, very dramatic. And it's got two huge air intakes either side of the forks on the front, and three headlamps vertical, one above the other, above the third. And yeah, that looks formidable. It looks like it's got big strong shoulders, like a American gridiron footballer, I suppose, with shoulder pads, with those two air intakes on the front. And yeah, this bike is clearly very beloved. Forgive me for not knowing much about it, other than it's got a Honda e-clutch and a Honda dual-clutch transmission. So, you know, Honda, real innovators in motorcycle technology and car technology for their entire existence, still bringing new technology to bikes. Of course they are. Also, parked slightly behind it, slightly ignored, the venerable Honda Transalp. That was a bike that I aspired to own a long time ago, because it was a twin and my Tengai was a single and I wanted something a bit more refined. Nothing wrong with a big thumper, by the way. Boom, boom, boom. Big singles, big fan. But yeah, twins seem to be the optimum way to go for motorbikes. Always an Africa twin. Oh. Oh. Do you remember the Pacific Coast? Interesting Honda bike that had panniers built in to the rear bodywork of the bike. Yeah, I think it was called the Pacific Coast. It's a long time ago. Don't see one of those here, so clearly that idea didn't catch on. Hang on, there's a bike for me here. Is that a CB1000 GT? Is that what that is? Yes. Yeah, that looks... yeah, that could mess things up for you. Handsome in grey. That's a lot of bike, right? You know, Norton are producing 1200cc bikes. Honda have got 1 litre bikes. And I don't know, the Harleys here, what are they, 1.5 litres, something like that, using modern money. That's an awful lot of bike, and if you can afford it, have it, mate. You have it. You want a little electric scooter, you have it. You want a big monster bike, you have that. Whatever makes you happy, because motorbikes are supposed to make you happy. And they do. I've stumbled across a name which is a blast from the past for me. There's a Fantic here. I remember, I'm sorry if this has become all our yesterdays, but I remember in about 1978 when I was 17 years old, actually earlier than that, 77 when I was 16 years old, you could ride a moped in those days, a motorcycle up to 50cc. And they had pedals, but the pedals could be stowed away. So it was a motorbike. It was only a moped in name, really. But one of the most desirable bikes back in that day was a bike called the Fantic Chopper. In the age when everybody wanted a Yamaha FS1E, a fizzy, I wanted a Fantic Chopper. And yeah, I'm sure you can imagine what it looks like. It was a chopper, really. I did buy a bit of a chopper bike a few years later. I bought a Kawasaki 250 LTD, or Limited, never sure how it's pronounced, which was definitely a chopper in styling, slightly feet forward, slightly high handlebars. Ah, that was a cruiser. I've forgotten about that bike. Do you know what? Margaret Thatcher stopped me from riding that bike. So when I moved to London, I came down with my 250 LTD, and By the time I got to London, within 12 months, the law had changed because I was riding on L plates and I hadn't taken my motorcycle test at that point. And the law changed, restricted people to riding 125s at that point. So I couldn't ride my bike anymore. So I gave it to my brother. And that was the first pause I had in motorcycling. It wasn't until about 1989, 1990 that I started riding again. Thank you, Margaret Thatcher, for changing the law, but also, probably the right thing to do. Forgive me. Listen, don't ever tell anyone I praised Margaret Thatcher, right? Because I won't. But that legislation did save an awful lot of lives, reducing the sort of performance of the sort of bikes that inexperienced people could ride from a 250 down to a 125. Made a big difference. Promise you won't mention it to anyone that I said something nice about Thatcher. It wasn't about her, honest, it was about legislation. Right, that's my get out clause. I've just stumbled across a place where scooters and cafe racers meet. I don't mean park up, I mean a single vehicle that is halfway between the two. I'm looking at the Italojet. Is this the Dragster? Roadster? The Roadster's cool, but the Dragster got a very visible frame. It's got front swing arms, hub steering. If you were a MotoGP rider and you needed a paddock bike, or you're an F1 driver and you needed a paddock bike or a paddock scooter, this is the sort of thing. It's got all the appeal of a very high-tech, high-performance bike, but with little wheels and all the benefits that come with that in urban environments and closed environments. Oh, it's a giant Italojet 700 twin. Yeah, it's starting to get much more like a motorbike than a scooter here, but of course, it's all down to the size of the wheels, isn't it? You know, that's the key difference between a scooter and a motorbike. Wheel size. If it's got little wheels, it's a scooter. If it's got big wheels, it's a motorbike. Visiting the Ducati stand now, because there's a new Monster. The Ducati Monster, of course, this is the Monster Plus, and if you want to buy one, it starts at about 12,000 euros, that's about 10 or 11 grand. The depowered version is 11,000 euros, 11.8 thousand euros. And the Monster, what a great name, what a great bike. Who doesn't love a Ducati? You know, ownership of Ducati a long time ago was a very painful thing. They weren't the most reliable bikes in the world. Italian electricals, right? I know that from the Bemota Mantra. But of course, Ducati were acquired by Audi a number of years ago, and I'm sure that they've brought a great deal of Audi's Vorsprung Dirk motorcycle technique to the brand. And so a Ducati these days is a very different machine to the sort of thing that my generation will remember, even if it's got the same name. Right, the Monster. Actually, there was a hypermotard here. You know, I was talking a moment ago about the differences between a motorcycle and a scooter being wheel size. Well, somewhere in between the two, you've got the hypermotard, haven't you? A 700 or thereabouts cc high performance bike with little wheels. A little lightweight. I do like the look of that. The Hypermotard 698 Mono. I think that would be a very useful, quick city bike, that. It's minimalist. Neat. Just looking at the knuckle protectors. A lot of bikes seem to have these days in front of the handbrake and the clutch. Which is a good idea, because it protects you from the wind. I had them on my Tengai, and I had heated handle grips as well, which I needed because I've got Raynaud syndrome, you know, that thing where all the blood vanishes from the middle finger of your hand and it goes black or blue, pretty horrible. But something I noticed on the Nortons, that the handlebar protectors have also got the turn indicators on them and additional lighting. Now, I don't know if any other bike companies do that, but I thought it was quite a neat design detail on the Norton. For, forgive me if someone else does do that and they're just doing the same, but I rather suspect it's something that they're going to flag up as a feature of Norton bikes. Maybe others too, though. There are multiple halls here, or pavilions, or whatever the Italian word is. Padaglione, is that right? And each of the halls has one big player, or a couple of big players in it. I've come to Hall 10 to look at Yamaha. I'm looking at the new R7 in iridescent Yamaha blue, and that's a nice bit of kit. But the main reason I've come here is to sort of pay homage to my very first motorbike, which was a Yamaha RS125, a little wing ding 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 two-stroke that I popped a hole in the piston going down Old Colwyn, a hill in Old Colwyn, back in 1978, when I was on my way back from seeing my girlfriend. And they, of course, don't do an RS125 anymore. Do they still do an RD125? I don't know. But looking at the 125s they have on display here, there's quite a nice little one called the XSR125, which is a kind of retro mod. Yeah, four stroke, cutesy. The seat reminds me of the seat on my RS125. Honestly, take a look at the picture of the bike and that sort of horizontal ribbing that tears after a while on your seats. It's very, very, very familiar. And there's also the MT125, the MT series. Of course, it's the MT03, which is a bigger bike, the MT07, which is a serious bike. But the MT125, nice little, short, purposeful thing. Yeah, very fond of Yamaha. Don't tell Norton I told you that. I'm looking at the MT07 now. This one's in, not matte, what would you call that? A sort of a silk black colour. Nicely muted. Yeah, black bikes get my attention. Right, Yamaha. We haven't done Suzuki either, have we? Better go and find Suzuki. This could take some time. Would you like an autograph from Kevin Schwantz? Let me just check. What time is it? Oh, 2:15. Kevin Schwantz will be here at 3:00 signing autographs. So if you are on the Suzuki stand at Milan, come and join me here. I'm looking at the Suzukis. I've never owned a Suzuki, but my great mate Bobby Troman, when I had my KMX 125, my little Kawasaki 125, he had a Suzuki TS 125, and we used to ride together around London. And of course, there are no more little two-stroke bikes here. The nearest thing I could find to the TS 125 on the Suzuki stand is the DRZ or DRZ 4SM, a little lightweight kind of scrambler, although this one's got slightly smaller wheels than you might expect, road tyres as well. And there's a DRZ 4S, which is configured for off-road use as well, knobbly tyres and what have you. Yep, Suzuki still in there. I have to say, their bikes look a little plain, if I'm honest. You know, they're handsome, but nothing outstanding here. Remember when I was in India, I was asking about motorcycles and who buys what in India when I was over there, and Suzuki just don't really appear in India at all. Why is that? I know they used to have a partnership with TVS Motor, and they used to build Suzuki's, TVS used to build Suzuki's for Suzuki in India, but not so many bikes anymore. Loads of cars, loads of Suzuki cars. Every other car was a Maruti Suzuki in India. Suzuki, of course, still doing well in the rest of the world, I'm certain of it. Nice to see Suzuki here. Right, we've done Kawasaki, we've done Honda, done Yamaha, done Suzuki. Who's left?
Gareth Jones on speed.
Well, here's your answer to what's left. Loads of other bike manufacturers, many of whom I've never even heard of. Tail G, popular in 100 countries worldwide, and their stand is staffed by young women wearing leather skirts and with the most pumped up bloody lips full of Botox that you'll ever see. It's not a good look, is it, kids? It's not a good look. Tail G, are they Chinese? I bet they are. Yeah, lots of Chinese people on the stand. And right next to them, Letby. Again, are they a Chinese manufacturer? They've got massive range of extraordinary looking bikes. Lots of electric vehicles. Electric step-through scooters that are bordering on being bikes. And some really, what would you call that? A naked, what is it? Have a look at this. It's a Letby Arthur LB700. Arthur. Good name for a bike, isn't it? What is it? Engine type. Water cooling inline double cylinders. It's a twin. A 700 twin. Nice. Yeah. The Chinese aren't messing about in terms of styling and engineering. And behind it, they've got a Letby kind of retro thing. What's this? With a very round headlamp. You just don't see round headlamps on a lot of sports bikes these days. There are some, retro bikes tend to have them. Letby, remember where you heard it first, right? I don't know, you've probably heard of Letby before. I hadn't. Loads of other names. CF Moto are here as well. Oh, gosh. RLG. It goes on and on and on. Truth is, we've only just dipped our toes into the wide world of motorcycles. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope, if you're a car fan, it's tickled your interest in motorbikes. Or that if you are already a motorbike fan, hope that you found this show interesting and informative. It's great to be in the world of bikes. But yeah, that's it from me. Apologies for not getting to Morbidelli and Benelli and lots of other Italian motorbike brands. But I've been thinking, right, in the world of bikes, who stands proud? Well, Italy, obviously. Japan, obviously. Britain, of course. And now that Norton are back, we've got another proud British bike manufacturer making world-class bikes. Oh yeah, you could probably mention America and Germany as well. BMW have done plenty, and Harley Davidson are pretty good at building motorbikes as well, aren't they? But there you go, that's it from Gareth Jones on Speed on Two Wheels. Expect some more bike stuff over the next year or so. I've made a few contacts here, people who would like me to know more about their motorbike. So if I get that opportunity, it will be on the programme. But that's it from Milan. Ciao, Bella. Thank you very much for listening. And see you for another episode when we get back to four wheels. See ya.
If you enjoyed this show, then please like, share and subscribe. For information on how to contact the show, see pictures, read song lyrics, follow us on social media, or to sponsor this podcast, go to garethjones.tv. Gareth Jones on Speed is made in Wales by Whiz Bang.
Gareth Jones on Speed!